Wisconsin's John Doe law dates from the 19th century. It allows district attorneys to convene secret panels to compel people to give testimony under oath and turn over documents. But two separate pre-election John Doe probes focused on Governor Scott Walker, his aides when he was Milwaukee County Executive, and Walker campaign supporters. Those probes led to several lawsuits that made public documents critical of Walker. Assembly Republicans say the John Doe process may need changing. Republican Representative Dave Craig of Big Bend, who represents the 83rd Assembly District, will take the lead on drafting those potential changes. Representative Craig, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks, Steve, for having me.
What was your understanding of the John Doe process prior to the last 2 years when there was so much controversy, sir?
Good question. I think myself and maybe the vast majority of Wisconsinites knew there was a John Doe law and that it provided prosecutors with an extra level of prosecutorial investigative power. Mm-hmm. I don't think that John Q. Citizen or your average legislator, myself included, had any idea about the lack of backstop that is currently in our statute to provide constitutional protections for our citizens.
Is the John Doe law our version of a grand jury that other states have, sir?
It is. We are an island unto ourselves, at least from our investigation, so far as a John Doe law has this broad authority. Most states do utilize a grand jury. In fact, Wisconsin does have a grand jury statute.
Yes,
it's just that it's never used.
Well, how does it differ? How does the John Doe differ from a grand jury, sir?
So under the Doe, a prosecutor can go to a judge, let him know what he suspects. The judge can sign off and allow the prosecutor to bring witnesses and have them testify under oath, which is not something that's able to necessarily be done through the normal course, similar to a grand jury. So right now, federal grand juries operate every day in Wisconsin, Eastern District of Wisconsin, Western District of Wisconsin, and can operate in secret if they so choose. But there are rules that are in play. I think those rules for secrecy, for instance, should also probably be applied at the state level.
Now, have you begun talking to people, prosecutors and lawyers and that officials like that? Because my question is, what's your understanding of how often local prosecutors convene John Doe, sir?
It's not just the prosecutors that can convene the Doe. We have spoken to attorneys on both sides, the criminal prosecutorial and the defense. And that's generally what we're talking about is criminal cases. There are situations, and most usually it's an inmate, an individual that's been imprisoned in one way or the other in a state correctional facility or a county correctional facility that has brought a complaint, maybe on a guard in the jail or in the prison, and has asked a judge directly for some type of relief via a probe. Sometimes those are disposed of, sometimes those are gone through, but that's generally how a non-prosecutorial Doe is carried out. We don't know the usage of them overall because the information is not easy to obtain. You literally have to go either county by county or find a central database at the state level, which we have not yet located. I know that there are other Does that have gone on in recent history mm-hmm. in counties like Milwaukee. I do not know how many have gone on statewide. I think there's a level of disclosure, though, when we're talking about the dollars and cents of a Doe and a prosecutor's use of tax dollars, where we should at least know in transparency, for good government's sake, how much a prosecutor might be spending on an investigation.
So current law doesn't say that if a John Doe opens and is closed with no charges filed, that doesn't have to be disclosed anywhere,
no,
correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, what's your overview of problems now that you've been watching it for the last couple years, because there was John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. So what are your concerns, sir?
Yeah, the concerns are going forward. First of all, let's take what has been said in the federal courts, multiple layers of the federal courts. First and foremost, First Amendment rights of a person that is either the target of a John Doe probe or just a witness in a John Doe probe. The secrecy orders that they were shackled under, I think, and under from the opinion of the federal courts, goes far beyond what the First Amendment allows. A fairer standard, I think, for us to reflect in this legislation would be, again, the procedures used every day in the federal courts via the grand jury system, where the court officers, the prosecutorial staff, mm-hmm. is held in secrecy But if you're a witness or if you're a target of the probe, you maintain your First Amendment rights. We are innocent until proven guilty here in our country, and the First Amendment rights should still carry through to those individuals.
If you're a target of a probe and you're called before a John Doe, do you have a right to an attorney? I just don't know.
Yes, you do.
You do?
Yep.
So there is
you maintain that authority, yes. But if you are a target of a probe or just a witness to a probe, and you've had your door knocked in, you have a law enforcement agency that has a warrant from a court to search your property, but then you are told, you know what, you can't tell your neighbor who just witnessed you, your kids, being held under restraint from the police authorities. You can't say anything to your neighbors about defending your good name, even though you haven't been charged with anything. You may only be a witness. You may only be being brought in for testimony. You may only be providing some of your materials, whether it be computer or elsewise. You should be able to defend your good name under your First Amendment right to whomever you want in the meantime. And I think that's just a basic constitutional protection that we should make sure we're doing here in Wisconsin.
The two John Doe probes that focused on the governor and his supporters and his when he was county exec, do you think prosecutors, news stories have said they showed up in the middle of the night, you know, with searchlights. Do you believe those accounts?
I have no reason not to believe them. I think that there's a duty, though, by the legislature. I mean, this legislation goes beyond just this John Doe. This legislation is being brought forward because we've now seen the apparent errors that are in the statutes, the lack of accountability in the statutes. What we need to make sure, though, is to take those errors which we have now seen and fix them in the upcoming statute. It's not just the First Amendment, it's the Fourth Amendment, and on and on. And we have a lot of work to do with the bill, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to have a good piece of legislation.
Do you think, given the recent disclosures, that the current John Doe law is too easily abused, or is there no or too little accountability, sir?
I think they are too easy to abuse, and by that, what I mean is there is no time constraint under the law under which a Doe needs to be conducted. If a Doe is to be broadened in scope, there is also no judicial accountability beyond that single judge, the single supervising judge, that is required. I think those are two areas of the law that we need to clean up. If a Doe is going to go beyond a certain period of time, 3, 6, 12 months, I think there should be an additional level of judicial scrutiny that's given that probe. Maybe it's by another judge, maybe it's by 2, 3, 4 judges. I think there's an additional layer of judicial review that needs to be added to our statutory structure to make sure that if that Doe, which is an extra, I don't want to say extra constitutional, it's a constitutional probe, but it's an extra tool that requires heightened level of scrutiny, that scrutiny is being used via extra layers of judicial review.
Well, there were some startling disclosures in public records as a result of the legal fights over the John Does. And I'm referring to one, there was a filing made public as a result of a judge's order saying that the subject, they were looking at whether the governor was as part of a criminal scheme. A pretty harsh term for a sitting governor. Is there any one incident or disclosure that really made you sit back and say, hey, maybe this law is broken and we need to fix it, sir?
Well, I think the fact that we've had disclosures itself draws attention of a policymaker here in Madison. The fact that we have someone leaking the fact that not only one John Doe probe is going on, but a second John Doe probe is going on. For the parties in the case who, under the ruling from the federal courts, have said their First Amendment rights have been abridged, for them to go and leak those details, that's one thing. But when you have the first Doe, the details leaking of that, mm-hmm. It certainly appears that the law has been broken, or at least stretched to its absolute limits by someone involved in that probe. That's something that policymakers here in Madison, I think, need to get to the bottom of. And it's of grave concern from a constitutional rights perspective for us to make sure that we are doing our due diligence here in Madison to make sure that the executive branch, or in this case, a criminal prosecutor, is abiding by the current statute, and then us adjusting the statute accordingly.
Let's talk about John Doe Probe 1. It led to convictions of 6 former aides to then County Exec Walker. Mm-hmm. Do you have any problems with John Doe 1? Are you more concerned about John Doe 2, sir?
The details of those cases are so hard to get at. I don't want to ascertain any investigatorial details as a policymaker here in Madison. I think that's a future role for the legislature to play, to get the details if it appears that there were abuses, and it does appear that there were abuses. I think in a separate matter or a separate course, the legislature should get to the bottom of that. When we're talking about this legislation itself, we need only look at the fact that these probes were leaked, the lack of judicial review in the statute itself, compare that to the merits of the law as it is right now, and act on the statute right now. I'm not going to comment, though, on what my critique would be of Doe 1, Doe 2. Those details largely are still being held in secret, to my knowledge. The only things that we are seeing are what are being ordered by the courts to be revealed, and that is not the full picture, at least in my estimation, so I won't comment beyond that.
Some members of your party, though, say Governor Walker was targeted by both Does purely because of politics, and he was up for re-election, apart from the process of John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. As a member of the Republican Party, how do you feel about those charges?
I won't make a determination on that. Is it clearly suspicious that we have not one but two Doe probes apparent that are going on right now with no end in sight, despite the fact that we have hotly contested judicial cases going on right now, where unfortunately we have government agencies that have been told by the federal courts and scolded by the federal courts,
yes,
you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, and they continue to do that. It seems like the government agencies are now beginning to apply the law as the federal courts have directed them. That's my main policy consideration, is whether or not the government is doing what it should be doing under the law. And that's first and foremost where our attention needs to go.
Haven't some of the prosecutors who you've begun talking to in the process of gathering information say, look, separate from these last two, John Doe 1, John Doe 2, the focused on the governor and those around him, John Does can lead to criminal convictions. Yeah. And if you do away with John Does or rewrite the process, there won't some criminal activity may go unpunished. Your response?
Yeah, I think if you're a prosecutor, you want to protect the prosecutorial discretion that you have. You want to be as effective as a prosecutor as you want to be. We do have a constitution in our state and in the United States that protects the normal citizenry from its government. So we need to make sure, first and foremost, as policymakers, that those protections are being held. No one, I think, is going to say we need to scrap the John Doe statute as it is altogether.
That's important. You want to keep it.
Absolutely.
Do you want to tweak it or fundamentally change it? Excuse me.
I think we want to fundamentally change provisions of it. I would say we're going to go beyond tweaking it. I would hope that we go beyond tweaking it.
Okay.
And in that, I mean, basically, in two different aspects. One, as like we talked about, having an additional layer of judicial review when it comes to extending timelines or scopes of a probe. But then to also make sure we set some type of timeline in addition to that. Right now we don't have any timeline whatsoever. That's something that needs to be established. We also need to make sure that the statute is only being used, I think, for serious crimes. Let's not have this be utilized for, you know, some type of administrative infraction where we're going through this extra intensive constitutional process, let's call it, where you have easily walking a fine line between First Amendment, Fourth Amendment implications. If we're going to rise to that standard of usage as prosecutors, let's make sure that we're using it only in the areas where we most need it.
Do you envision a statute that would list the specific crimes for which a John Doe could be authorized, sir?
That may be, and we're tossing around that idea right now. I'm not sure how easy it's going to be to come up with a list like that, but I think there is certainly cause for limitations from prosecution. And at the end of the day, the prosecution can always use a grand jury system or the traditional investigatorial system that the statutes currently allow. It's just whether or not we want to use John Doe's for every system, every situation that a prosecutor might want to use it for.
If your change would authorize John Doe probes on serious crimes, would you include campaign finance or campaigning on the job as a public employee, a serious crime?
It's all very preliminary right now. We've got to look at the range of issues that are out there. Again, at the end of the day, the prosecutor's going to be able to use either a grand jury system or the current system that we have right now, or the probable finding cause. The John Doe is just an additional tool that they have, and we need to figure that out as policymakers, what instances they should use that and what instances they shouldn't.
Do you feel you're at a disadvantage since you're not a lawyer going into the deep weeds of the prosecutorial process?
I think it certainly makes it harder. I'm on the Judiciary Committee. We've dealt with a number of legal issues. We had a judicial system reform piece of legislation that I moved last session. So it's not uncharted territory for me as a layperson realtor, but it's certainly somewhat of a disadvantage not being a lawyer in that case. But I think at the end of the day, it's good to have non-lawyers. We can sometimes look at especially constitutional protection cases and see what the average person would expect of their government. And I think in this situation in particular, an average person in Wisconsin that's not a lawyer should be able to look at the government's action and see, you know what, this is where an additional layer of judicial review should be. This is where a timeline should be set for a prosecution to be able to act under, or where it shouldn't be. And that's just something that I think maybe there's a disadvantage or an advantage that I have as a non-lawyer coming into the situation.
You know what struck me in the course of reading the news stories, and there were dozens, if not more than 100, it seems to me that the prosecutors in John Doe 2, where Mr. Chisholm and DAs in four counties work together, in the course of all the lawsuits, most of the embarrassing information about the governor was made public. Do you think, are you comfortable with that? The fact that so much information, which was the subject of a secret John Doe process, was made public? You must have been surprised at some of those news stories that you read.
The most surprising aspect is that we know about it at all under the current statute, and that's the most disturbing to me. So whether or not it's, you know, that someone's underwear drawer was raided, which I don't even know if that was part of the testimony that was leaked out, or if it's, you know, someone's child's iPad or whatever, what have you. The ultimate alarming situation for me as a lawmaker is that we have these leaks. They've come from somewhere. The media got the information somehow. Is it the prosecutor's office? Is it someone else that's involved in the case? That's what we need to find out as a legislature. So I'm not entirely taken aback by what individual piece of information came out. It's the fact that someone has violated the law in doing that. If it was a party that was a witness or a target of the probe, their First Amendment rights under what the federal courts have said should be maintained. If it was a situation where prosecutorial staff or court staff were the leakers, we would need to find that out, I think, as policymakers here in Madison to make sure that the law is being dispensed equitably.
One of those sets of records amounted to what assistants to judges said was an oops. Oh, we let that out and we weren't supposed to. Do you think they were guilty of a criminal act or just a simple oops?
I would certainly hope not. I think there is a role for us as legislators in government oversight, and I think that does carry over into the judicial branch realm. If there was some type of misconduct or if it was an oops, whatever, there should be accountability, but that's for the judicial branch, I think, to evaluate. Our concern, I think, primarily is the executive branch, where we have a direct oversight authority over that branch and how the prosecution acted. I would hope that there's not such a thing as an oops when people's constitutional rights are involved, when sensitive information is involved. If that is, I think whoever supervises the oops should be some type of accountability exacted there.
So if you were sponsoring a bill today, and you're not because we haven't convened the next session yet,
yeah,
you would continue John Doe probes, and you're thinking about for a specified list of potential crimes, and
could be.
Yeah. That's one thing under consideration, but you are serious about if a John Doe probe is authorized, you would continue to have a judge officially open it, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, but there would be a time limit. In other words, it wouldn't be able to out there ad infinitum, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
And if it wants to go beyond that, would you have to get approval from a court of appeals or something like
that? I would like to see an additional layer of judicial review when it comes to both the timeline and if it comes to expanding the scope, additional targets, additional content of, you know, what if a new crime is expected to have been committed, something along those lines. If there's a substantial change in what the scope of that probe is, it should have to go, I think, back to a court. and have an additional layer of judicial review.
Okay. Is there any other elements in a bill, if you were drafting it today, putting it in the hopper?
I think from a policymaker's perspective here, my first and foremost goal is to make sure the dollars and cents that are being spent by government are accountable to the people. For the GAB, I've tried to find the information on how much this is costing state attorneys or contractors, what have you. For government agencies to not be able to furnish that information to a legislator because either they are hiding behind the law right now or they just are bound by the law to do that, we need to change the statutes. I think at minimum we need to be able to tell our taxpayers how their money is being spent, whether it be from a state prosecutor's standpoint or a government agency standpoint if they're somehow participating in a DOE probe.
Do you plan to ask Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm how much his office has spent on DOE 1 or DOE 2?
We'll see at the end of the process. I hope to make sure that that information is disclosed. If that means at the end of the day we pass a bill and we can get that information, I'd hope the media wants to find out, for one thing, how much has been spent. I certainly would have a very interested prospect on getting that information, yeah.
You must hear somebody say, look, the governor won re-election with 52% of the vote. He survived this John Doe process. Why do you want to change the law? Team won.
Well, at the end of the day, it's about John Q. Citizen, who at the end of the day should be able to expect that he's innocent until proven guilty. That's one of the foundations of our country, one of the foundations of our state. And that's what this goes beyond the governor, this goes beyond the legislature, this goes beyond Wisconsin. This is an American ideal that we're talking about here. You're innocent until proven guilty, you should be treated accordingly, and our statutes should have levels of due process in place. Sometimes we'll have additional layers of due process, and what I'm saying with my legislation when I bring it forward, this is a extra tool that we give to our prosecutors in Wisconsin that other states do not have. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we have backstops in the law to make sure that it can't be used beyond the intent of an open government and an accountable government perspective.
Are you working with Democrats on the bill?
Not so far. I've talked to one or two Democrats regarding kind of the concept of what they could get on board with. I think this is actually a bipartisan issue at the end of the day. We should all be able to agree that when it comes to this extra layer of prosecution, I would think that many Democrats would want to get involved in that piece of legislation. And I've seen some interest so far in the concepts that were kind of floating or are being floated in the media. But with specific legislation, we won't do that till the session convenes.
Which senator might also co-sponsor it in that House?
We'll see. Well, that's up to the Senate. We're talking to other legislators right now just to kind of get gauge interest in the reform. We're getting a lot of individuals coming back from both the Assembly and the Senate that say, yeah, our constituents are saying this needs to get reformed, and we got to do it early on in the session.
Well, that was my next question. Do you want to do it before the budget?
I think so. When we're talking about...
Do you want to get it through your House?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would hope so. When we're talking about constitutional rights that are being abridged today, potentially, in however many probes that might be out there, we need to get these protections in place now. The only thing that's more important to me than helping create jobs in the state of Wisconsin is if someone's constitutional rights are being abridged here, we need to make sure that that's taken care of, absolutely.
And there's no partisan shade to this. You're not doing it because some of the public records were pretty embarrassing to the governor.
No, not. At the end of the day, if we would pass whatever bill we would pass, we should be driving people into public view and not hiding certain things. So actually, I think it's the opposite of what you're talking about.
Technically, John Doe 2 is still alive. It's pending before federal judges. And there are petitions, I think, for the state Supreme Court to take it up. Would your bill shut down John Doe 2, or would it just go forward as of time certain?
Good question. I think what our bill would do, if we were passing a bill that says you need to act within a certain time period or get a certain level layer of judicial review, I'd have to talk to some lawyers to figure out the impacts to current cases. I would expect, or I would at least hope, that whatever cases are going on right now, if they have exceeded what the new law says, that they should go through the processes that are outlined in the new law. So is it something where the scope of a DOE has expanded? Yeah, I would expect that should go through an additional layer of judicial review. Is it a situation where a John Doe has gone beyond 6, 9, 12 months, whatever we would put in the statute? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that should go to an extra layer of judicial review. Does that mean John Doe's are going to close down? No. But should they go through this constitutional process where we have judicial review at these important steps? I think that's something that should apply to current Doe's.
Well, I think that's important. So I just want to be clear. You're not saying that the technically still pending John Doe 2 should be shut down.
No.
You're not saying that.
No, I have no idea what that Doe is necessarily about. We're not supposed to know that. All I know is what the media has presented to us and what has been, you know, released under the order of a judge. That is not a complete picture. I, as a policymaker, can't take that as a complete picture. Again, our role is to make sure that we know what the flaws are in the law, which are clear, and address those flaws going forward.
And prior to the election, when some of these documents were made public, the governor got pretty exercised about that. Have you talked to the governor about the bill? Has he asked you to introduce it?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, in summary, summarize why this is so important, sir.
Yeah, in the United States, we have things that are important, the First and Fourth Amendment, the rest of the Bill of Rights. We have a statute that's been around a long time. We're an island unto ourselves as a state that has this extra ability for a prosecutor to go after a target and utilize to get witness testimony. We are saying that process can go on, but it needs limitations. When we have our state unique unto all the other states that utilize grand juries generally, we need to make sure that we are not only competing with them from a fairness perspective, but abiding by our sacred documents, the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Wisconsin.
You say you want to move it early. Do you have a target date to drop it in the hopper, sir?
I don't. I would expect introduction in January.
In January?
Yeah.
Okay. Republican Representative Dave Craig represents the 83rd District. He's from Big Bend. Thanks so much. It's an important issue, so thanks for briefing us on it.
Yeah, thanks for spending the time, Steve.
Thank you.